Good morning. Good morning, good morning. Happy Valentine's Day. Thank you. Thank you so much. My name is Lindsay. It is still a pleasure and still an honor to be here with you guys. I drove in from Asheville this morning on a long, early trip and had a lot of time to think about how grateful I am to be here with you guys and what all God is doing in this church, but especially thinking about Valentine's Day. As a single young woman, it's maybe easier or harder to think about it this way, but the fact that God is love and that he is the ultimate and the best lover and giver of love. So thought it'd be fitting to read 1 Corinthians 13 today before we jump in. If y'all want to stand with me, I will read this and remind us of the kind of love that's biblical, but that also describes Jesus and God our Father and the love that we find in them. It says, love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered, and it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Something I find special about that is that if God is love and if Jesus is love, then you can interchange all those words where love is with God. That God is patient and God is kind. That he's not easily angered. That he's gracious. That he doesn't delight in evil. That he delights in the truth. And that he always protects, always hopes, always perseveres. And that his love has never failed us. That it came to find us. So we're going to sing a lot about God's love today. We're going to jump in. This first one might be a new one to you, but it's real easy to catch on to. Sing, come all you weary.
Come all you weary. Come all you thirsty. Come to the well that never runs dry. Drink from the water. Come and thirst no more.
Sing that again.
Come all you weary. Come all you thirsty. Come to the well that never runs dry. Drink from the water. Come and thirst no more.
It goes like this.
For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever.
Sing that with me.
For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever.
Come all you sinners.
Come all you sinners. Come mind his mercy. Come to the table. He will satisfy. Taste of his goodness. Find what you're looking for.
Sing that again. Come all you sinners.
Come all you sinners. Come find his mercy. Come to the table. He will satisfy. Taste of his goodness. Find what you're looking for.
Sing, God so loved.
For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever.
The power of hell.
The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom for God.
God so loved.
For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever.
The power of hell.
The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom. For God so loved the world.
Amen.
Good, good, oh, you are.
Everybody. Hello, hello. Here's what has happened this past month and a little bit more. You guys and a lot of other people that love me, you prayed. You got on your knees before the Lord and you prayed, and God listened to you pray. He heard every word, and he accepted your prayers. He accepted my prayers through the blood of his son, and he said, yes, I'll grant you that. I'll give you that. For God to be glorified, I'll answer your prayer. And God did just that. I was in the pit of despair, and the Lord met me there, and he brought me out, and I am rejoicing in the Lord. I'm rejoicing in the Lord because when the night was holding on to me, God was holding tighter, and so I'm very thankful for the church. I'm very thankful to each one of you who prayed, who loved me to Jesus, who loved me to the throne, and I'm extremely hopeful and excited about what God has for me the rest of my life and what God has for this church. I'm very grateful to be enjoying God, enjoying our Father, praising him together in this place with these people, with you. So, thank you.
jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending the knee. The weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. Oh, how he loves us so. Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. Oh, when all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful.
God, thank you that you love us. way more than our words can say and our hearts can even fathom. But thank you that you demonstrated it for us on the cross, that you told us that greater love has no one than this, than to lay down their lives for their friends. And thank you that you call us friends and not slaves and not just servants, but that you came because you loved us and you wanted to win us back, that we might have a relationship with you, that we might know you as a friend, as a redeemer, as a savior, and as our ultimate lover. I pray that we lean in today to that love, and to your scripture, and as David speaks to us about the story in Joshua, that we'd find ourselves in it, that we'd find you in it, and that we'd see a beautiful love story all over again. For all this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. You guys can be seated. If you have a Bible, I'd invite you to turn to Joshua chapter 5. We will be in verses 13 to 15 today, and we are coming to my favorite part of the whole book, and I just pray, and you can pray with me and for me, that I can do it justice today. And so, Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 to 15, the commander of the Lord's army shows up, and we have much to learn, much to see, much to observe. We have much to respond to this morning as the commander of God's army shows up. But as you're turning there, just want to mention to you one thing. If you're visiting with us here today or online, would love to hear from you by way of a response. Just your name and email is more than sufficient for us. If you could fill out the digital connect card, it is online on our homepage. If you're here, you can scan the QR code, or you can go online on our homepage as well, stcharlotte.org, and fill out that digital connect card. Also, if you have questions about the sermon or maybe ways you're looking to get plugged in, prayer requests, we'd love to pray for you. We would love to follow up with you in a very respectful way. And so thank you for being here. Thank you for listening in. And we are glad that you would join us as we jump into God's word today. So, Joshua, if you're ready, kids under 18, I need to hear you the loudest. So glad to see you. So glad that you're here. Moms, dads, aunts, uncles, siblings, friends, family, I need to hear y'all as well. So as we jump into Joshua chapter 5, if you are ready to hear from the commander of the Lord's army today, let me hear you say, let's get after it. 1, 2, 3. Awesome. Joshua chapter 5, verse 13. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" And he said, "No, but I am the commander of the army of the Lord. Now I have come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. This is God's good word to us. Let's pray together this morning. God, thank you for your word. Thank you that you've been so gracious and good to us to reveal yourself to us through this book and primarily through the person and work of Jesus. Thank you that, God, as we rebelled against you and your goodness and your kindness to us, your provision for us, and said we want to do things our own way, you have pursued us to rescue us, to redeem us. You showed up. You revealed yourself to us so that we might ultimately have a place of rest and peace and blessing that is found in you. God, thank you that you showed up. Thank you that you continue to show up. I pray that you would do that today. Holy Spirit, reign supreme. moving our hearts, moving our lives. Show up today for each of us. Show us what you would have from us. And Lord, I pray that we would all respond appropriately to you, that we would, none of us would leave here today without bowing the entirety of our lives to you, saying, what would you have for me, Lord? May it be so for your glory and our joy. It's in your beautiful name we pray, Christ Jesus. Amen. So in the heat of the American Civil War, there's a bit of debate, at least as I researched, there's a bit of debate about how it actually, this quote actually came to be. But someone either asked President Lincoln if God was on the side of the Union, or some say one of his advisors went to him and said he was grateful that God was on the side of the Union. Either way, Lincoln's response is what's appropriate for us today, and I think very helpful. Lincoln replied, and I think this quote will be on the screen, "Sir, my concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side, for God is always right." We are living in a time of division. We're living in a time of taking sides. Even though I'm not that old, I'm getting older, birthday's coming, gray in the beard, no hair. I'm close to middle age. It just is what it is. I don't know what that means, but there we are. Maybe I'll buy a boat. Who knows? But we're living in a time of division. Even though I'm not that old, I'm not seeing a time in my life where things are more divided. I'm not sure if you saw it, but during the Super Bowl, there was a commercial, Jeep commercial, Bruce the Boss Springsteen. Anybody see this commercial? Okay, just me and two of you. That's all right, three, four. Okay, a few more. Everybody's like, we hate Tom Brady. We didn't watch the Super Bowl. Or we hate football. We didn't watch the Super Bowl. I got it. I hear you. You hate football. I love it. It is what it is. You got me. I got you. God's better than all that. All right, so the boss, Bruce Springsteen, in this commercial, it was essentially a call to the middle, all right? It was essentially a call to the middle, a call to civility, a call to common ground and unity in such divided, perilous times. In the commercial, here's what he said. I'll quote it in most of its entirety. He said, "All are more than welcome to come meet here in the middle. It's no secret the middle has been a hard place to get to lately, between red and blue, between servant and citizen, between our freedom and our fear. Now, fear has never been the best of who we are, and as for freedom, it's not the property of just the fortunate few. It belongs to us all. Whoever you are, wherever you're from, it's what connects us, and we need that connection. We need the middle," he says. "We just have to remember the very soil we stand on is common ground. So we can get there, we can make it to the mountaintop through the desert, and we will cross this divide. Our light has always found its way through the darkness, and there's hope on the road up ahead." Now, in order to get to the promised land of unity, Bruce ain't gonna get us there, only God can. But here's what's fascinating to me, all right, about this imperfect call for unity. It's not the imperfect call for unity that's so fascinating. And the thing that I want us to see today is more so the refusal by many to even try and see the other side. Anyone happen to see the comments in the commercials? Or am I the only dork that looked them up? A few people, okay. One article that I read said the ad pulled off the rare trick of alienating people on both sides of the aisle. All right? Everybody's hacked off. Jeep, by the way, has pulled a commercial at this point. You won't see it anymore. I think you might can still find it on YouTube. I don't know. They said it was because Bruce got hammered and he got a DWI. And none of that's relevant. The commercial's down. People are hacked off. And here's the point. In our country, in our world, there's so much division. Everybody's taking sides. It's not just in our country. It's in the church. I've certainly not witnessed the type of division I see in the church in my almost 20 years of vocational ministry. People are both leaving churches and staying in churches based upon stances around mask wearing and how pastors are voting, among other things. People are drawing lines in the sand. People are taking stances and taking signs, and many are doing it in the name of God and claiming He is on their side. in pursuit of peace and rest and blessing, many people try and recruit Jesus to their team and to their agenda. However, we see here in Joshua 5, that is not how our God works. He is Lord. He is King. He is Commander. He is in charge. He is powerful. He bows to no one. You can't recruit him to your team, to your agenda, to your side. He is Lord. But as Lord, he is gracious. He is kind. He is merciful. He is present. He invites us. He invites all to bow to him. To bow our lives to him. See, Jesus has, God has promised to give his people a place of rest and a place of peace and a place of blessing. Remember, this is what Joshua is all about, right? God promised to bring his people into a place where they might receive rest and blessing and peace. God's promised this, but it comes through bowing to him and trusting in him, not through recruiting him to our team so that he might help us win. See, here in this story, we see God show up. And what God does when he shows up is he declares that he is on his own side and that his side is always the right side. We see a clear invitation for any and all to bow to him. It will require a letting go of our sides, our agendas. If we're to see unity, if we're to really find a place of peace and blessing and rest in this world, Bruce, the boss, can't lead us to it. Only God, the commander of the Lord's army, can. And so, I would like for us today to see this reality. When God reveals himself, the only proper response is to bow in worshipful submission to him. When God reveals himself, the only proper response is to bow in worshipful submission to him. God shows up here in the story, and Joshua bows his face before him. And we, like Joshua, should rightly bow to the Lord and lay our plans and our agendas and our desire for control and our desire to want to do it our way and our desire to be right at the feet of the commander of the Lord's army. We'll look at it in two parts. First, the revelation, then the response. First, the revelation. Here at this point of the story, we've come to the brink of battle, right? If you remember Joshua, let's just by way of review, let's briefly remember how we got where we're at. Joshua's and the people of God are about to go into they're in the land of Canaan. They're eating of the fruit of the land, and they're about to go in to take over the land, all right? Here's where they're at. Moses, the older generation, have died. God has called and raised up Joshua to lead the people into the land. He's told him he'll be with him. God has said, I will be with you. I will be with you. I will be with you. And because I'm with you, be strong, Joshua. Be courageous. Not because you're amazing, but because you have me, as we'll see here. The commander of the Lord's army is with you. Be courageous. He leads his people. Joshua does. He leads them into the land of promise. They cross the Jordan. God divides the river Jordan. They cross over on dry ground. Like the people coming out of Egypt crossed over on dry ground through the Red Sea, God's people are now coming into the promised land, crossed over on dry ground. They have recommitted to God's covenant through circumcision in the early part of chapter 5. And they've remembered his covenant through Passover. They've tasted the land. The Bible says here, just before this passage, they ate of the fruit of the land and they ceased to get the manna. They've tasted it. And now the only thing that's left is for them to take over the land, to enter into the land of promise, to take over, to have it, the land that God promised. There's only one problem, right? Jericho, the people of Canaan, all the Canaanites, all the Ites. Okay, they've tasted it. They're called to take over. The Ites are in the way. But Joshua's ready. He knows they're going to take over. He knows they're going into battle. The only thing that stands in their way is the Canaanites, but Joshua's prepared to go into battle. And so Joshua here, this is a bit of speculation on my part, but Joshua here is we don't know the timetable between Passover and this exactly, but Joshua's, he's out. And the scriptures say here when Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes. So he's close. He's real close, within proximity, probably within a mile or so of Jericho. He's to where he could see the city. I imagine him scoping out the battlefield, right? He's a good commander. Joshua's he's a commander. He's a military man. He's thinking, how are we going to do this? He's out in front. He's checking out the plains. He's checking out the fields. He's probably strategizing and scheming and trying to figure it out. It's like when I played football a long, long, long time ago, and we would walk the field before every game. Anybody else play football, do this? I know none of you guys like football. I forgot. Two of you. Good. So you walk the field. Before you play, you walk the field. You go. You step out on the field. You grab the grass. You smell it a little. You do silly things. All right? You walk up and down the field. You look for potholes. Make sure you know the landscape and where there's good spots and bad spots on the field. You prepare. You get your mind right, your heart right to go into battle. This is where Joshua's at. And while he's walking out and scoping out the land in Jericho, he is met. He is met. The Bible says he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold. The Hebrew word there, it's almost as if he's caught off guard. He's surprised. And behold, a man was standing before him with drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us for our adversaries?" He is met by a divine visitor. God comes to Joshua in the flesh. He shows up on the brink of the biggest battle Joshua's ever fought in his life. God enters in. Now, I believe here the commander of the Lord's army is Jesus. Okay? This is Jesus, the pre-incarnate Jesus. In the flesh. Before he became a baby, he existed, right? You may read John 1. We know this, John 1, 1 through 18. In the beginning was Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right? He was with God in the beginning. All things were made through him and for him. Without him was not anything made that was made, right? In him was the life. The life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and darkness has not overcome it. Jesus was alive and well before, right? Before the foundation of the earth, he created it all. He spoke it into existence. Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, is here. He shows up. Now, I'll give you three reasons. Some people might disagree with me. That's okay. It's not super important, but I think it's really awesome that Jesus showed up. Jesus, here's three reasons why I believe this is Jesus and why I think it's important. This is God. Better yet, it's Jesus. He shows up to Joshua in the flesh. Joshua worships him and is not rebuked. All right? We see this in the story. Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him. I don't know if you know much about the Bible, but it's okay if you don't, but angels and men are not allowed to be worshiped. Not a good thing. So this is God in some form. He's being worshiped and he's not being rebuked. Jesus receives his worship. Secondly, the ground is holy, right? What does the messenger say? What does Jesus say to him? To take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. It's holy because it's Jesus, the pre-incarnate second person of the Trinity. Jesus is on the scene. He showed up. The ground where Jesus is holy. And then third, Jesus is the one who makes God known in human form. I quoted the first five or so verses from John 1. Down in John 1, 18, it says, as that huge long prologue in John is concluded, it says, "No one has ever seen God, the only God who's at the Father's side. He has made him known." All right? So here's the idea. If you see God in the flesh, that's Jesus. Jesus is the one who makes God known to the world. You want to know what God looks like? You want to see God? You want to see him in the flesh? Look to Jesus. Here, Jesus is making God known. He's in the flesh, drawn sword, ready for battle, getting after it. This is Jesus. Joshua meets Jesus. The revelation. God reveals himself. Jesus comes to Joshua here? Three observations about how he comes. First, he is present. He is present. Now, we're about to talk about his power and his might, as if you didn't know I was going there with the second P. All right, we're going to talk about that in a moment. But before we get to his power and his plan, we must first pause to look at his presence. He is present in church. Oh, what grace! Let us not miss the mercy and the goodness and the grace of our God to show up. He showed up. He was present. He was here. When Joshua was by Jericho, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing before him. He's not a God who is far off. He is a God who enters in, who is present, who says, even though you rebelled from me, even though you were kicked out of the land, the Garden of Eden, because of my holiness, I'm going to enter in. I'm going to fix things. I'm going to make things right. Jesus enters in. He comes to have a people for himself, to dwell in a place where they might have peace and blessing and joy for all eternity. He is present. Secondly, we see he is powerful. He is powerful. Notice that not only is Jesus there, but he is powerful. He is divine. His sword is drawn. This is the commander. He says, I am the commander of the Lord's army. He is powerful. Man was standing before him with his drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went to him and said, are you for us or for our adversaries? Not a bad question. Joshua was ready to fight. Okay. This dude's got a drawn sword. He's going, are we like, what's about to happen here? We going to throw down? Are we going to do this? Are you with me? You on Team Joshua or you on Team Jericho? What's up here? Okay? That's the idea. Joshua's probably ready to throw down because Joshua don't play. All right? But he sees this commander with drawn sword. Drawn sword means some type of perfect justice is being executed here. God is ready to go to war. He's powerful. He says to Joshua, no, not on your side, not on the side of the Canaanites. He asks, he answers his question with neither. You for us, you for them. No. No. But I am the commander of the Lord's army. The Lord's army. There's lots of debate about exactly what this means. I'm of the opinion this is the commander of all of the angelic beings in all of the world. In all of the spiritual world that Jesus commands them. And he's saying, hey, I'm in charge of this army. I'm actually in charge of you too, but your little 40,000 over there strong, sweet. I'm the commander of the Lord's army. He's powerful. He's in complete control and command. His sword is drawn. He is stating through his revelation, I am in charge. And then thirdly, he shows his plan, or at least that he has a plan. He says, but I am the commander of the Lord's army. And then he says this, now I have come. They didn't give him the whole plan, and Joshua, we'll see in a moment, says, hey, what do I do? Tell me what to do. Give me the plan. He didn't get the plan. We'll talk about more of that in a minute. But what we need to understand is he says, now I have come. Now, at this moment, at this time, in this place, for this particular moment of time, I have shown up. I have come. I have showed up on the scene. He has a plan. He doesn't give details, but he has a plan. He has a purpose. He is at work. This commander of the Lord's army reveals himself to us. He is present. He is powerful. He has a plan. And as Joshua looked and beheld this commander of the Lord's army, we are wise today to look and behold this Jesus, commander of the Lord's army. And here's what we need to see. We need to see the commander of the Lord's army. Listen to me. the commander of the Lord's army. Don't miss this, church. This commander, this is the one who laid down his life for you and I. This powerful commander of all the angelic armies of the Lord graciously, lovingly, willingly lays down his life. When Jesus was on the earth after the incarnation, he's walking in the New Testament, we see in John 10, 17 through 18, he lays down his life willingly. The Bible says, it's going to be on the screen, for this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. See the willingness? No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and have authority to take it up again. This charge I received from my Father. Jesus, the commander of the Lord's army, sword drawn, showed up in Joshua, was about to go to war, defeat all the armies of Canaan. This is the one who comes humbly as a baby and willingly lays down his life. See, we see also here in Matthew 26, 51 to 54, he didn't call on the angel army to rescue him from the cross. Church, don't miss this. He didn't call on the commander of the angel armies of God, did not call on the angels to rescue him. He was held there by his love for you and I. Matthew 26, 51 to 54. And behold, one of those who were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his ear. It's Peter, right? Then Jesus said to him, put your sword back in its place. Listen to what he says. For all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot appeal to my Father and he will at once send me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then should the scriptures be fulfilled that it must be so? This Jesus, talking with Joshua, with sword drawn, the commander of the Lord's army, is the same Jesus who said, hold up, angels. I'm going to lay down my life willingly. I'm going to die in their place. I am going to lay my life down to show them how much I loved them, to fulfill ultimately the promise that his people would have a place of dwelling, a place of rest. This is what Joshua again is pointing us to, that God promised his people would have a place of rest and blessing, peace. And now, ultimately in Christ, we have this. And so the call for you and I today is to lift our eyes and look, to behold, to see Jesus, the one who died and rose again for you and I, as Joshua did. And then, as we see him, the call is to respond appropriately. So what response should we have, Joshua? Glad you asked. Joshua helps us see a proper response here. Let's look now at the response. So first we see the revelation. The commander of the Lord's army shows up. He shows up. He's present. He's powerful. He has a plan. He points us ultimately to the King Jesus who laid his life down willingly for us. The way he went to battle was through dying. Now the response. When you recognize the Lord rightly, listen to me. When we recognize the Lord rightly, the only proper response is to worship him with humility, in full submission to who he is and all he's done. And this is what Joshua does, and this is what we should do. Dale Ralph Davis, just one from him today, he said this in his commentary. He said, we would do well to ask the import of this encounter. All right, we should say, hey, why is this so important? This Joshua chapter 5 here, this seems important. Commander of the Lord's army shows up, we should ask. At least its primary function was not to give specific instructions, but to bring about reverent submission. Sometimes we need to see that Yahweh is not so much partisan as sovereign, that it is more important to recognize God's provision than to know God's plans. We can easily become more interested in special guidance than in a right relationship with the guide. Four things we see from Joshua here quickly. in his response to the revealed Son of God. He said, first, we see he falls on his face, right? So Jesus says, no, I am but the commander of the Lord, army of the Lord. Now I've come. And Joshua, what does he do? Look at his response. We should look and behold as God reveals himself to us, as we see the love that Jesus had for us, so much so that as the commander of the Lord's army, he laid down his life for us. And then he got back up out of the grave and he said, look to me, trust in me, hope in me. Our response should be similar to Joshua's. He falls on his face. We should respond by getting low before the Lord. Look to somebody beside you and say, get low instead of trying to be Lord. I know I don't do that often, but say it. Get low instead of trying to be Lord. Get low instead of trying to be Lord. Stop trying to be in control. Bow your knee to the Almighty. If you are in Christ, you are not the Lord of your life. You confessed Him as Lord. Bow to Him every day. Bow to Him. Bow to Him. Get low instead of trying to be Lord. Lay your plans, lay your agenda, lay your desire to win at His feet. He fell on His face. Secondly, He worshiped. He worshiped. Look to somebody and say, let worship replace your worry. Say it. Let worship replace your worry. Come on, homies. Let worship replace your worry, all right? So Joshua's on the brink of battle. He doesn't know, and we don't know all that's going through his mind, but he's got to lead this people into this land against all these armies. He's likely worrying a little bit. If he's not worrying, we certainly do. We certainly worry, full of worry. What about this? What about that? Am I doing the right thing? Am I not doing the right thing? And am I going to be single the rest of my life? Is my marriage going to make it? Are my kids going to hate me? Or how is it going to play out? What's going to happen here? Is this job going to work out? Is it not going to work out? There's worry. There's anxiety. There's all sorts of things. What we should do, how we should respond to the revelation of God is stop and worship Him for who He is. Rest in Him. That worship of God replace your worry. Thirdly, he submitted his life to Him. He submitted his life to Him. We see here, he says, he fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to Him, what does my Lord say to His servant? So here, listen, Joshua is no slouch here, right? Joshua is the commander of the people of God. He's got an army 40,000 strong. They just crossed the Jordan River on dry ground. He's been told by God he's going to take over this land and defeat all these different kingdoms. Everyone in the land fears God. They fear Joshua. They fear the army that he's bringing. What does Joshua do? He recognizes this guy's in charge. This Jesus is king. This Jesus is Lord. This Jesus is the one I should bow my life to. And this is what he does. He submits his life to Him. He says, what do you want me to do? It's full submission. Complete and total surrender. What do you want me to do? Say something one more time. Submit instead of strategize. Say it to somebody or at least to yourself. Submit to God instead of strategize. Submit to Him. Submit to Him, His will, His plan, His authority. Recognize that He is in control, that you can trust in Him. Submit to Him. And then fourthly, he obeyed Him. He obeyed Him. This is part of what it means to submit. But Joshua follows through with his obedience. And so he says, what do you want me to do? He's probably looking for a plan. He's looking for a battle plan. And what does the Lord say to him? He says, in verse 15, the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take off your sandals from your feet. The place you're standing is holy. And then what does it say? And Joshua did so. He obeyed. He obeyed. You don't have to say this, but you can at least think it. You can say it if you want. Rest in His presence when He doesn't give you a plan. Rest in His presence when He doesn't give you a plan. You want to know if you're on the right team? If you're with Jesus, if you're resting in His presence, when you don't have a plan, when you can't see His plan, when you don't know how things are going to unfold, when you're begging for it and He's not giving it to you, obey Him. Rest in His presence when he doesn't give you a plan. Trust him when he doesn't give you a plan. He said, take your shoes off. Joshua took his shoes off. He probably wants to know how they're going to beat the Canaanites. What's this going to happen here? There's this big, huge walled city here. How's this going to go down? What are you going to do here? God doesn't give him that. He says, bow. Take your shoes off. Be spiritually prepared before you go into battle. See, it's like my beautiful, amazing kids, they want to know where we're going every time we get in the car, right? Every time we get in the car, where are we going? Where are we going? Where are we going? Right? All over. And it's like, and don't let me, and if we're going somewhere familiar and I go a different route, bruh. It's like, I had to remind them again this week, you guys know Daddy's been driving for over a couple decades now, all right? 2, 3, 4 times your lifespan. We're good. Just trust me. Trust. Here's the best news. You got your daddy, and we're going to get where we're going. Just relax, homies. It's good. Just relax. This is the idea. Our response is to be one of falling on our face and worshiping. Stop stressing about the plan. Stop stressing about, oh, this isn't how we get there. That's not, we're going to Papi and Gigi's. We don't take this road to get there. No, we do today. This is how we get there today. We're going this way. Over and over and over again. God, this ain't how we get there. Surely you don't want us to go that way. You can't have wanted this for my life. No, no, no. This isn't the plan. This isn't the path. Joshua shows us how we respond to the commander of the Lord's army. He falls on his face, he worships, he submits his life to him, and he obeys. Brothers, sisters in Jesus, we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. As such, we are here to serve and submit to him, to enjoy him, to receive his love, to rest in him. We must not get this twisted. We are here to serve him, not him to serve our agendas. When we forget this, we must quickly be reminded who is in charge. We are here to serve him. See, God is no genie in a bottle that grants us all our wishes and advances our causes forward. We are his. We've been bought with a price. The blood of lambs assured the freedom of God's people in the Old Testament. And the blood of the Lamb, the commander of the Lord's army, who laid his life down for you and I, paid the price for us to be bought back into relationship with him, so that we now have a place of peace and rest and blessing. He said he would give it to his people. He gave it to them. Ultimately, they needed Jesus to come on the scene in the New Testament, as we all did, to fix it, to give us the eternal place. As we see the revelation of Jesus, we should all be open to responding like Joshua, who said, what does my Lord say to his servant? But some of us haven't done this. Some of us don't do this. Some of us aren't doing this currently. Which leads to our question today as we close, and that's this. How are you going to respond to the commander of the Lord's army today? How are you going to respond to the commander of the Lord's army today? Just before he would face off against his greatest enemy, God comes to Joshua. He reveals himself to Joshua. He doesn't give him battle plans. Not yet. He will, but he doesn't yet give him battle plans. He reminds him of who he is and how Joshua should respond to him. Similarly, church, God has revealed himself to us. He has come to us. He shows us that he is God. He shows us that he is holy. The commander of the Lord's army graciously, lovingly, willingly laid down his life for you and I. It doesn't get any better than that. We must recognize this. Be grateful that he loves us. He loves us to his team. He loves us to his agenda. And he leads us every step of the way. And so today, are you going to respond by going about business as usual? Or are you going to bow physically, emotionally, spiritually to him today and every day? Are you going to rest in His finished work? Are you going to try to continue to advance your agenda and your kingdom and your life without completely resting in and submitting to Him? You see, this is a different kind of prayer life. This is a kind of prayer life that doesn't demand things from God, but ask in faith, God, will you do this? And then if He doesn't do it, trust. And if He doesn't, it's not best, and He has a plan, and He's powerful. There is such a temptation to want to know His plans, or even worse, to have Him bless ours. God promised to give His people a place of blessing and rest. He promised that. This is what Joshua is all about. Again and again, God said, I will give you a place. You rebelled against me in the garden. You're kicked out of here. But I'm going to have a people, and you're going to have a place, and I'm going to dwell with you. And it's going to be a place of blessing and rest and goodness and awesomeness for all eternity. Here's what we see in Joshua 5. There is no place of blessing and rest without Jesus. There is no place of blessing and rest without the commander of the Lord's army showing up and showing off. It doesn't exist. The people of Israel don't cross the Jordan without Jesus. They don't beat the Canaanites without Jesus. They don't get into the land without Jesus. There is no place of blessing and rest without Jesus. For you and I today, we're looking, we're longing, we're searching. The world is trying to find this place of blessing and rest and peace and fulfillment and satisfaction. Here's what we must know and remember and rest in. There is no place of peace and blessing and rest apart from Jesus. And the best news in the world, Jesus shows up. He shows up. Sword drawn. And He shows up for us. And He held the angels at bay as He laid down His life. The commander of God's army laid down His life. So that He could pick it back up again. So that He could secure for you and I, and for all who would trust in Him, this place of rest and blessing and peace that is found solely in Him. Demands a response. And so I ask again, what will it look like for you to submit to the commander of the Lord's army today, this week, this month? What does it look like for you to submit to this God, become flesh, dwelt among us, and then laid His life down? What will it look like? Let's pray. God, we are I am humbled that You would show up in my rebellion, in my sin, in my shame, in my guilt. And that You would go to war, that You would take my sin, that You would become sin so that we might be righteous. Thank You. I pray today that we would be a people who are not about advancing our agendas, or not about winning our side, or not about recruiting You to our team, but we are a people who over and over and over again say, God, I submit to You. God, I rest in You. God, I bow to You. God, I trust You when I don't see the plan. Make us those people. Make us those people who are like Joshua, fully submitted to You. With sandals off, recognizing we are in the presence of a holy God. And the only way we got here is because You did battle. Thank you. Thank you that you loved us that much. Thank you that we celebrate your love and your grace today. I pray that if someone in here doesn't know you, if someone listening online doesn't know you, that you would bring them to yourself. You would rescue them, deliver them, free them, help them to bow their life to you. God, do what only you can in our hearts and in this world. We need you desperately. It's in your beautiful name we pray, Christ Jesus. Amen. Hey, friends, I want you to know, as we respond today, a couple of things. One, you are loved by the commander of the Lord's army. He laid his life down for you and I. And as we look to respond to him, I pray that we would do that in a few ways corporately. There may be some ways individually you need to do that, but today we're going to, and you should do that, respond to him individually however you need to. If you don't know him today, confess, repent, believe, call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. That's what the scriptures say. Call on him, look to him, say, just save me, rescue me, deliver me. Corporately, we are going to remember Jesus' body that was broken and his blood that was shed so that we might have life. There's a cup in your seat. If for some reason you don't have one, there's some by the welcome cart. For those who follow Jesus, we would encourage you to remember the commander of the Lord's army who laid his life down for you and I. His body was broken, his blood was shed so that we might have life, so that we might have entrance into the land of promise for all eternity, so that we might have peace and rest and blessing. It's because Jesus did this that we are secure in those things. Remember that he loved us, that as Lindsay opened with this morning, that his love was shown to us first. That 1 John 4 tells us that we don't even know what love is if it weren't for God showing it to us. All the twisted versions of love out there and all the Hallmark cards are just either imperfect images or totally off. God is love. He shows us what love is. So we remember that today as we take communion. And then when you're ready, I would invite you to stand and sing with us as we worship this gracious, good God. And then if you have kids over there, go grab them, bring them back over here when you're ready. And then lastly, if you want to give during this time, is an obedient, cheerful act of obedience to God. It's one of the ways we respond to him, one of the ways we obey him in everything, one of the ways we say, it's all yours, what do you have for me? It's by giving of our time, talent, and treasure. So if you want to give of your treasure, your money today, do that as you respond to God through worship. He's worthy. He's worthy. Let's rightly respond to the commander of the Lord's army today. Let's continue to worship him now.
My hope is in you only.
Sing "When Peace." To say it. Lord, thank you. Thank you for the chance to gather. Thank you for the chance to hear a crowd of voices singing of your goodness. Thank you for the story of Joshua and the amount of courage and humility we can draw from it. Lord, I pray that we would leave here today being reminded of your presence, your power, and your plan for our lives. God, I pray that we would lay down our lives at your feet. I pray that you would speak to us in both extraordinary and ordinary ways. Thank you for your love to us. Thank you for the cross. And thank you for these people, God. I pray that we would go with you, knowing that you go with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. You guys can be seated for just a quick. I have one actual announcement, and I'm just going to say bye. If you call St. Church home, or if you don't, you'll hear more about this in the coming days, but I want you to go ahead and mark your calendar for March the 12th. From 5:45 to 7:45, okay, that's a Friday night. I'm asking you to get that on your calendar. We're going to have prayer and worship night that evening. We're aiming for it to be here at the school, but if not, we will have another location that's announced. We will have childcare that night, okay? Lots of young families have a hard time with doing things without childcare, and so we will provide childcare. But we want that to be a very, very focused time of prayer. There will be some singing, some worship, but man, we're going to pray. We're going to do this once a quarter, so this is the first one for the year. And we're asking you guys to come on, make it a commitment to be there, to pray with us, to ask God, to praise Him, and to ask Him to do what only He can. All right? So March the 12th, 5:45, 7:45. Just want to remind us all, we get to serve the commander of the Lord's army. Ain't that good? And then as we go, we rest in the promise that He's redeemed us and that commander's coming back. For then He sent us with work to do. As we rest in Him, we get to also invite others to rest in Him as well. And so let's live sent. You guys are amazing. You are sent. As you are dismissed, please be respectful of each other. Wear your mask. Social distance. If you don't wear a mask, make sure you're social distancing. Be kind. Be courteous. And then if you can, if you have a minute and you can, get these chairs stacked nine high. Chairs stacked nine high if you're able. If not, that's totally okay. Don't feel obligated. You guys are amazing. See you soon.